If Jesus were to ask you to come, would you come? If Jesus were to ask you to follow him, would you follow him? Jesus were to ask you to be obedient, to give your life to him, to be obedient, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, would you do it? Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's the invitation we talk a lot about and we preach sermons on, because Jesus, I can just picture in my mind him standing there with his hand held out, even motioning for us, saying, "Come unto me," because we know we're all laboring. We all have heavy burdens in our life, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, we have to deny ourselves. If we want to follow him, deny ourselves, take up the cross daily, and follow him. If Jesus were to ask you, would you come? I got thinking about that this afternoon. But I mentioned this morning Adam and Eve, and I got to thinking about how that Adam blamed Eve and even blamed God somewhat, because he said, "The woman who you created for me caused me to do this." Sometimes we're looking to point our finger. We're trying to point blame to other people in life, whether it's our obedience, whether it's our faithfulness, no matter what it may be. We look and we had rather someone else be at fault than ourselves. I compiled a list this afternoon. I changed my mind about what I was going to preach on tonight, but I hope this will be a short lesson, but I hope it'll be something that we can all gain from. I compiled a list about excuses that I've heard over the years in my preaching. Excuses when we talk to people about obeying the gospel. Before I get into that, though, I read a book. I think David read it as well. I thought it was an excellent book. You've been a good brother, Willie, about W.A. Bradfield. He was holding a gospel meeting. I forgot where it was at, and he went and visited someone during that meeting, and the guy implied that he needed to be baptized and that he would. Well, that night during the invitation song, W.A. was standing up front, and the guy kept standing in his spot in the pew and never responded. So W.A. walked back to where he was sitting and said, "Are you coming or not?" And he turned and come back to the front, and the guy followed him, and he obeyed the gospel. I don't think that would fly today. I think if someone come back and said, "Are you going to come forward or not?" I think you might have someone walk out. Here's a list that I compiled or come up with it's out of W.A.'s book. One of the excuses people use for not obeying the gospel is, "I don't know enough yet." And I think I would put under that heading with people I've talked about, some people will tell you that they will not obey the gospel because of the life that they're living. They have things in their life that's worldly that they're not willing to give up yet. They know what kind of life they need to live to be a Christian, but it's hard to set the sin aside, hard to set the world aside and say that I'm going to follow Jesus. So you could put two things there. Number one, I don't know enough yet, or I'm not willing to give up enough yet. In other words, to follow Jesus. And obviously we could go to the book of Acts and we can look over and over again when people heard the gospel. They were challenged and they responded. You can't help but think about on the day of Pentecost when Peter was preaching, how much did the people know that day? Not a lot. They knew enough that they had sinned. They knew enough that they needed forgiveness of their sin. And they understood enough from Peter and the other apostles that Jesus, our Savior, was the one that they crucified. And they wanted to follow him. They wanted to be obedient to him. But then another excuse we might hear is, there's so many different theories of religion. And that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate when we're talking to someone because people have made a statement to me, I don't know who to trust. I don't know who to believe because you're saying this, Tim, and brother so-and-so over here is saying this. Who is it that I'm going to take whose side here? And obviously the answer is let's go to the Bible. And let's look at the Bible and let's see what the Bible says for us, what we need to do in order to be saved. And I think to go under that one happened to me about a month ago. I was studying with a man who had some children, trying to get him to obey the gospel, even trying to get him to come. And the excuse that he gave me was, I'm scared to come to your church. I'm afraid that my children might respond to the invitation and be baptized and join your church. There's a whole lot wrong with all that. Number one, I do not have a church. And I began to explain that to this person. I've not died for one. I don't have one. I don't own one. I do preach at the Lord's church. But then I went to the book of Acts with him, and many people will think about this, and many people will use this as an excuse. I don't know which church to join. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The challenge that we have there is to obey God, obey Christ, and let him do his part, and let him add us to his body. Talked to a man here in Treasant. Made this statement, there's too many hypocrites in the church. Just too many hypocrites, I'm not going to go. Some of the people that sit in that building with you are out doing this, that, and the other, and y'all act and y'all say and y'all teach that y'all are the only ones that's going to heaven. And I don't know part of it. How do you respond to that? Why hide behind them? If you know that someone is living in sin and you know that someone is not living as they should, why not help that person get to where they need to be so that they too can be saved, as you're saying that you know that you should be, but you won't because of people in the building? Another thing, I actually had a person tell me this. It was over in Middle Tennessee when I preached over there. I'm afraid I can't stay faithful. I am afraid I cannot stay faithful if I obey the gospel. What happens, brethren, if you never start? What happens if you never start that journey? I think we would all agree that it is difficult sometimes to remain faithful. It's difficult to continue to walk down the path that we need to walk down. Worried about whether we could hold out, the Lord has promised that he'll help us. This last week someone told me that the Lord would not put more on me than I can stand. We know that the Lord is there to help us and support us so that we can be faithful. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What'd Paul say? God forbid. We have to get started. We have to make a commitment. And probably one of the most popular ones I've heard over the years is someone will not obey the gospel. I've talked and studied with people over the years, and they would get to a point where they were actually answering the questions before I asked them. They knew exactly what they had to do in order to be saved, and they would say, I can't. I can't become a member of the Church of Christ. I cannot become a New Testament Christian because what you teach or what I would be saying is my family is lost. Nothing you say or do, if your parents or grandparents or loved ones is gone, is going to change the course of where they're going. Once we leave this earth, Our destiny has been determined. There's no changing and there's no turning back. And when we learn and we obey and we hear the gospel, we need to respond to it immediately, and we need to live it, and we need to breathe it each and every day of our lives. And I guess another one that I want to throw in before we finish tonight is there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time for me to obey the gospel. I've heard this many, many times over my nearly 30 years. You talk to people and they say, I'm going to, I know I need to, but I'm going to wait just a little while. I'm going to wait just a little while before I obey the gospel. That's one of the devil's tricks that I preached a sermon on here a few months back. One of the tricks of the devil is to tell you there's plenty of time to obey. Well, 2 points I wanted to make tonight. Number one is we have got to get ourselves in the right relationship with God. Each and every one of us, I'm talking to everyone, young and old and Christians and non-Christians. I'm talking to everyone. You've got to get yourself in the right relationship with God. Quit making excuses and decide that I am going to follow Jesus. And it's going to be a challenge, and it's going to be something that will challenge us each and every day of our life. But I'm going to tell you, the more and the harder you work at it, the easier it gets. Because we can give up certain things in our life, and we don't have to make that decision anymore. When we decide that we're going to, for example, and I'm not going to preach on attendance tonight, but for an example, when we make up our mind that we're going to attend all the worship services of the church, and that eliminates a dilemma every week. That's off your list of things to decide. You just know that you're going to do it, and when you're here and you're faithful and you're fellowshipping one with another and you're encouraging each other and people are encouraging you, it makes it easier to be faithful. So tonight, the first challenge is, number one, will you obey the gospel? Will you become a child of God? Will you rededicate your life to God if you're not in the right relationship with God? And then the second point is found in Jay's book. I sat in the office this afternoon. I wasn't feeling that well. And I sat in the office for a little while, and I got to reading in Jay's book. And I read quite a bit that had a lot of humor to it, and that helped me. I read about, for those of y'all that read his book before, I read about the time that him and Daniel was playing tackle football in the bedroom. And they knocked the doorknob through the sheetrock. Little fellers, they took scotch tape and liquid paper and fixed that hole. They done a good job. I walked in. I said, what in the world is happening? I don't know. All we done was open the door. I said, boys, opening the door don't cause a hole to go through sheetrock. And I begged and begged and begged for them to tell the truth, and neither one of them, they stuck to their story. One time I read in the book, they got to where they was fighting all the time, and I'd come home, Wendy would be tore up because they couldn't get along. They said they hate each other. I give them a shovel. We had a ditch where the garbage disposal goes out the back over here on the farm. And the dishwasher and the washing machine, it all goes out this ditch. It was stopped up. I give them a shovel, and I said, start digging. I want everything out of this ditch. Boy, you could hear them out there. They were telling each other the news. It's your fault we're doing this. No, it's your fault. They were blaming each other, but you can read it in the book, and I got a big laugh out of it because I could remember it. But then I got to this point. It's found on page 157 of Jay's book. It's called The Challenge. The challenge before us is simple to explain, but it's harder to carry out. The goal before us is to preach, teach, and spread the gospel to everyone. Our goal is to put forth an honest effort to grow the church. I believe these two go hand in hand. We are to go and teach nations, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Matthew 28:19-20. and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:15-16. The Bible teaches us when people truly believe and obey, then souls will be added to the Lord's church. Acts 2:47. This is how people can rejoice. Acts 8:39. Because Jesus is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5:23. Listen to this. Precious souls need to be won to Christ so they can be added to the body of Christ. Let's all commit to working for this goal. Here's a little something to help us get started in reaching our goals. And here's the 8 things he listed. Number 1, who can I ask to come? Relatives, classmates, neighbors, and special friends. Number 2, who do I have contact with daily who's not on the list above? Number 3, do I pray for my friends daily? Number 4, have I shared the gospel with my friends? Number 5, have I invited my friends to attend worship with me? Number 6, do I know the spiritual needs of my friends? Number 7, do I live the Christian life before my friends? And number 8, choose 2 friends from the above list and begin praying for them and then invite them to come to our worship services. This really could be a day your friend could remember for eternity. Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. What do we do with the challenges in our life? What do? We come here and